Good morning. I bring you greetings from Union Presbyterian Seminary with our two campuses, one in Charlotte and one in Richmond. Our mission at Union is to prepare people to be leaders of gospel-inspired transformative change in pursuit of a more just and compassionate world. And we are grateful for the partnership of this congregation in that work. And particularly, I'm very grateful for the service of your pastor, Christopher Edmonston, on our board for many years, and especially as board chair since before I came. He has been a gift to me over the last 2 years. And in short, he's my boss. And I'm doubly grateful for the invitation to be here. The New Testament reading comes to us from the Gospel according to John, chapter 12, verses 1 through 8. Listen for the word of God. 6 days before the Passover, Jesus came to Bethany, the home of Lazarus, whom he had raised from the dead. There they gave a dinner for him. Martha served, and Lazarus was one of those reclining with him. Mary took a pound of costly perfume made of pure nard, anointed Jesus' feet, and wiped them with her hair. The house was filled with the fragrance of the perfume. But Judas Iscariot, one of his disciples, the one who was about to betray him, said, "Why was this perfume not sold for 300 denarii and the money given to the poor?" He said this not because he cared about the poor, but because he was a thief. He kept the common purse and used to steal what was put into it. Jesus said, "Leave her alone. She has kept it for the day of my burial. You always have the poor with you, but you do not always have me." The word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
The theologian Lauren Winner recounts how her mother told her there are two things you should not discuss in public: religion and, I know what you're thinking, politics. But that wasn't it for Lauren's mother. It was smells. Do not discuss religion and smells. Do not discuss religion and odors of any kind. Talking about smell, her mother said, was fundamentally déclassé and might make people think about feet, which would be terrible, apparently. With apologies to Lauren's mother, I wonder what the smells in your life are. You know, the ones that have powerful associations that evoke strong memories or feelings. On the pungent odor side, for me, I recall the time I was driving my parents' dog to my house, and it was snowing fiercely, and the dog got sick in the car, like sick in all directions, such that just to breathe, I had to drive the last 45 minutes with all the windows down and icy sleet pouring in from all directions. On the fragrant scent side for me is the moment I opened the door to the mudroom after a hard loss on the high school soccer field. And I took in the aroma of tuna noodle casserole, my favorite dish, which my mother had made for me. That was the fragrance of love. You, no doubt, have your own history of smells and aromas that stir your heart and your memories, conjuring whole worlds of love, joy, or sorrow. Rudyard Kipling wrote, "Smells are surer than sounds or sights to make your heartstrings crack." The story from John today is all about smells. With apologies to Lauren's mom, there are also feet involved. But before we get to the smells in our scene today in Bethany, we need to be aware of the smells that come both before and after our story. Those are sorrowful, frightening smells. At this point in John's gospel, the odors of gloom, grief, and death pervade the gospel. In chapter 11, just before our scene with Mary opens, Martha spoke of the stench of Lazarus's four-day-old body. "He stinketh," says the King James Version. Mary weeps with uncontrollable grief at Jesus' feet over the apparent death of her brother Lazarus. The authorities decide to kill Jesus and call upon the public to inform on him so that he might be arrested. Jesus no longer can go about in public and has gone into hiding with his disciples. Fear and death are in the air. It is into this atmosphere of pervasive dread that Mary pours out a truly astonishing amount of intoxicating, luxuriant perfume. The pure fragrance she uncorks is worth more than a year's pay. In today's money, tens of thousands of dollars of fragrance. Mary's wild abandon tells us what she is feeling. In the midst of the nasty smells all around, Mary's soul fills up with love for Jesus, a love she expresses by filling the house with the costly fragrance. It's the perfume of adoration. She is coated in it, using her tangled hair to saturate Jesus so that she, he, the whole house are enveloped in the smell of love. One day last summer, my daughter and I were enjoying a spa day. Not something we do often, but it was a fun splurge. She was visiting us from her home in Philadelphia. In addition to a massage and a manicure, the spa package included a glass of wine for each of us. So just before heading to the hot tub, we approached the desk to ask about the wine. And a perky young woman, possibly not old enough to be serving wine, asked our preference for red or white. And then she hopped up and disappeared into the back. When she returned, she cheerfully handed each of us a 16-ounce red solo cup, like the kind you get at a frat party, and each one of them was full to the brim with wine. Spa day has taken on a new meaning in our house. Which gives me some sympathy for the people in the room staring at Mary as she pours out nearly priceless perfume, sloshing it everywhere. And stare they do. Judas likely expresses the views of many when he protests at such an extravagant waste of resources. I can imagine thinking that myself had I been there. You could do a lot for the poor by selling that perfume. John wants us to know that Judas doesn't give a rip about the poor. He's out to line his own pockets. And for the record, when Jesus says you always have the poor with you, he doesn't mean feel free to neglect the poor since they're always around. Rather, he alludes to the command in Deuteronomy to be generous toward the poor precisely because there will never cease to be some in need on the earth. And they need to be with you. The poor will be with you. That is, not as outsiders, but as part of our communities of care. What happens when such a copious amount of love pours out into the world? How do people in the gospel react? With suspicion, with rejection, with resistance. And they are not alone, because most people do not know what to do with this kind of love. Judas's goal is to deflect, to resist Mary's outpouring. He can't stand that much love. It's too much. It's even frightening. Everything about Mary's action is offensive to those around her. The apparent waste of valuable perfume, her long hair uncovered, the intimacy of her touching Jesus, wiping his feet with her hair. There they are, the feet again. It's all scandalous. A scandalous act of discipleship born of her love for Jesus in the midst of the dreadful odors around her. Even with the threats and the gloom and the fear, Mary cannot contain the joy that bubbles up because of what Jesus has done for her and for others and because of who he is. Even when the smells outside all clog the nostrils with despair, Mary fills the house with the astonishing and overwhelming scent of love, costly love. She shows the other disciples how to follow Jesus in love when the world closes in, when everything feels impossible. There are some strange smells wafting about in our world today. For many, they are the odors of uncertainty, anxiety, even dread. Anxiety about what the future holds, about jobs or illnesses or family members who are struggling, about the stock market and retirement savings. The list is long. How might we respond in a world with such noxious odors? Even if we are not ourselves feeling unmoored or frightened, it should stir our hearts to see that many of our neighbors are feeling that way. In the 14th century, Julian of Norwich famously received a message from God: all shall be well, all shall be well, all manner of things shall be made well. This was not a saccharine sentiment that denied hard reality. Julian lived in the middle of the bubonic plague, where she saw up to half of her neighbors die of the disease. In the midst of the literal stench of death, she said, "Here's the gospel in a nutshell. Jesus reveals love to us, and we are to love as he loves us." That, she said, is the Lord's meaning. Mary of Bethany knows that love is our Lord's meaning. Jesus himself is God's act of love for a hurting world. Mary knows that Jesus resuscitated Lazarus out of love. Her bathing of Jesus' feet points forward to his washing the feet of his disciples out of love. In her pouring out the oil on his body, Mary is prophetically anointing Jesus' body for the death he will die on a cross out of love. Mary's singular focus on Jesus, on pouring out love upon the embodiment of love, doesn't mean that the dreadful odors go away. No, the pungent smells of fear and death remain on both sides of the story. The threat of Jesus' death hangs in the gospel narrative as thickly as the luxuriant perfume Mary pours out to anoint his body. But Jesus' death is not just any death. It is the self-emptying death that brings about new life for us and for our world. As Song of Songs tells us, love is stronger than death. Mary knows this when she pours out her perfume. It is the scent of a love that conquers all. It fills the house, of course, but through Jesus' death and resurrection, it wafts out of the doors of the house and into the village and into the countryside and into our whole world. It is the smell of new life, like the new spring buds outside right now. And it is the smell of love that is for all, from the one who loves all. In the midst of this Lenten season, with confusion and dread swirling around us in its various ways, we may ask ourselves how we might honor Christ, as Mary did in the midst of her troubled world. How will we show love to the one who first loves us? Isn't it, as Ephesians 5 says, by walking in love as Christ loved us? As the theologian Wendy Farley observed recently, the gospel is utterly and completely simple. It is constituted by three words: love one another. That snippet from Ephesians goes on: walk in love as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us, a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. There it is again, the smell of love. Christ is a fragrant offering. Christ is the one who so fills our senses, so fills our minds, so fills our imaginations that we are transformed. We change direction. We walk the way of love. And by walking in love, by loving those who so desperately need to be loved, lavishly, even recklessly, we spread the life-giving, luxuriant scent of love into the air that others may inhale deeply and find their souls renewed. We, like Mary, are to pour that fragrance out abundantly and without regard to cost. Beloved in Christ, how shall we do it? How shall we unleash our costly perfume that scents the world with profligate love? As we continue our journey toward Holy Week, toward the Passion of Christ, may we find paths of grace for love to flow for the sake of the one who first loved us. Amen. Amen. Beloved in Christ, life is short, and we do not have much time to gladden the hearts of those who journey with us. So be swift to love and make haste to pour out the scent of Christ's love as Mary did onto a world that is broken yet so beautiful and so cherished by God. And now may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with each of you this day and forevermore. Amen.